This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, great to be with you. Let's pray. All right, we'll pray for our country. We'll pray for well-formed citizens and these moral issues become clear. It does. I don't know about you. I do get a little frustrated when I see how my fellow Catholics, how fellow Christians track with the secular culture when it comes to the vote, when it comes to life, when it comes to the death penalty, when it comes to these different issues. So let's pray for a real illumination of conscience and a real conviction of heart. A lot to pray for here. Let me get some of these prayer intentions in here. This one really struck me today. This came in earlier today. And if you want to join me for the chaplet, you know the number. It's 888-914-9149 if you're new to it. I don't normally take 5 or 6 calls, time permitting. I'm going to leave this man's name anonymous. I know he gave me his name, but I want to respect his privacy. He says, my wife of 37 years. I don't know how long you've been married. But think about 37 years of marriage. Right? My wife of 37 years has had an affair for the past 18 months with another man. She's hurt our family and, of course, deeply wounded me. We did a legal separation. She continues to live with this man and not attend church. And I'd like to have her have a change of heart and come back to Christ first. But I also want her to come back to me. And we have 3 wonderful sons, and we're soon to have our 4th grandchild. There was no reason for her to do this except pure selfishness, which can be forgiven. I'm so lost over this, and I'm asking you and all who pray with you to please pray for me. So let's pray for this man who is in a storm right now, whose heart has been wrenched, and who's praying for the conversion of his wife, and he's willing to forgive her. And I just want to pray that God really will work a miracle and bring healing into his life. And look, I often say, I say this a lot, but I believe the Lord wants sacramental marriages together. And if you really had a valid, illicit marriage, and you pray this chaplet, I'm telling you, miracles can happen with it. I do. And I've seen this and I've heard this in the past. I want to pray for Philip Wandra as well. He fell down some steps. He's a man and he broke some bones in his back and broke his pelvis. Also has a head injury. I tried to get that word out. And he's going to need a lot of rehab, but the head injury right now is causing a lot of concern, and it's serious. You know, anybody who has head trauma, I mean, the complications from that can be pretty grave. So I'd like to pray for this man, Philip. I know his son, Kevin. Kevin, we're praying for you and for your whole family there. So hang in there. Prayers are coming for your dad. Another person said, look, Drew, my nephew was recently, he went to jail for a misunderstanding, but since he's been there, I've been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I want to let you know, since I've done that, he's changed his ways. He wants to be a man of God, and he realizes that he's not following God as he should have. He's requested a Bible in jail, is taking notes and writing letters of how sorry he is for being the person he was. I'd really appreciate it if you continue to pray for him so he can get out of jail in the next few months. We're praying for you, and I my heart goes out to anybody incarcerated. I do receive letters. I'm so bad at writing back sometimes, but I'm praying for you and for especially parents and family members of loved ones who are incarcerated. They suffer in their own way. One more email or two here. A young man from Rhode Island was severely injured in a head-on crash with a drunk driver just a little bit of a week ago. She has extensive – I'm sorry, a young woman – from Rhode Island was severely injured in a head-on crash with a drunk driver, and she has extensive surgeries and has now developed double pneumonia. She really needs prayers. Her name is Eliza. So we'll pray for victims of tragedy as well. And this email too. We lost our son to suicide almost 6 years ago. I watched my kids turn completely away from anything related to God. My husband has turned to drinking, and he's made the depression made his depression worse for him. Our marriage, Drew, is in critical condition. I'm asking for prayer. I'm guessing I'm praying for all around miraculous healing for my husband, myself, my marriage, my whole family. Pray for our son who passed and for all the souls who are in purgatory. are just some of the emails that have come in. So I certainly want to pray for these really difficult situations that are people in. I mean, we all have different crosses, but some of these crosses seem just so heavy to me. So, Lord, I just ask for your mercy on behalf of everyone who has written to me and everyone who's now calling in. And we just ask for miracles of healing and forgiveness, and we pray for those who've gone before us, and just give you the intentions of all now who are going to be joining me in prayer. I'm joined by my colleague, Amy. She is our chief financial officer. She tends to pray with me every Tuesday. Amy, anything you want to lift up or pray for?
Thank you, Drew. I'd like to pray for all friends and family, and that everybody has a safe summer.
All right. We'll certainly pray for that, Amy, and for all of your heart's needs and intentions. And let's begin right now. We'll pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus. The source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today from Marie, listening in New Mexico. Oh, I'm sorry, Maria. Maria, good afternoon.
Hi, I'd like to pray for my neighbor's friend. Her baby is in the hospital, and Marcus, and he's only 3 months old, and he's been declared that he's going to pass away today, and he has, like, a heart. Something's wrong with his heart. And I'd also like to pray for some family members with health issues and for my Nina who passed away last year.
All right, well, let's pray for them right now. Maria, I'm glad you're praying with us. Thank you for joining me, okay? And I know how powerful your prayers are as well, so we'll pray together right now, especially for your neighbor's 3-month-old baby. Wow, currently dying. Lord, I pray for all those you are calling home to you, all those approaching the hour of their death. I pray for the hour of our own death, that you will meet us as a merciful Savior, not as a just judge. But I also know, Lord, that you have raised the widow's son, you've raised Lazarus, you have resurrected, and you have healed. So I ask right now for this little baby, for a divine mercy miracle. I bring to you these impossible situations, and I just ask that your mercy will prevail for your greater glory, so that others may too believe in your power and your love. And I pray for all the intentions that little Maria put forward for her uncle and for all those that she voiced, and I unite her prayers with those who now cry out to you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Laura is listening in Chicago, or at least praying with us there. Hi, Laura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling about my father. He's 90, and he's been in the hospital for 3 weeks, and he's been fighting and fighting, but now he's finally decided to go on hospice, and we're desperately trying to get him home so he could be with family at home, and we pray, ask for prayer for him.
All right. Laura, hang in there, okay? We'll pray right now. And again, Lord, I give you those who in this hour need your mercy. And I know this is a prayer for the sick. I know it's a prayer especially for the dying. And the Lord said to us, you know, and in this, I'm so glad you called, because there's so many souls that are called home every moment, every second right now. The Lord said, pray as much as you can for the dying. You know, by those insistent prayers, by those entreaties, by this chaplet, you will obtain trust in my mercy for them. And the times like this, they need it the most. They have it the least. And the Lord said, and I love this, and this is what I camp out on, that this prayer you and I are about to engage in, he says, the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in their final moment depends on this prayer. So, Lord, I pray for all those who are in hospice, all those who are approaching the threshold of eternity. I give you those souls as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Pam is praying in Chicago, Illinois. Pam, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your mission. And you always say that there's a theme. I had your book, very fortunate to be able to read your book, and I will pay it forward, move it along so that others can be blessed by it as well.
God bless you.
My heart and my prayers go out to the two intercessions that you asked for that one gentleman who, with his wife asking for a divorce after 37 years, I've struggled myself with a marriage, very, very rocky years and a very, very long period of time. He will remain in my prayers for the other individual in regards to, I think it was her son, and mental health issues. I have two children that struggled with the same as well, so I will keep them as well in my prayers. So my intent in calling today is my mother-in-law is in hospice.
Wow.
So that is the theme of the day. She just has a few days to live. She has lived a long life of 92 years. She is a Catholic, although a bit fallen away, and her wishes apparently are to be cremated and kind of then ashes shared and saved. So again, it might be her wishes, and, you know, God have mercy on her soul. She may not, I don't want to come off as judgmental, but I'm just really hoping that there's mercy on her soul, potentially despite her wishes. So,
Well, Pam, first of all, thanks for calling. Thanks for the kind words. And you're so right. It's so weird. I sometimes marvel because, we randomly take these calls, the producers bring them in. This is the third call praying for situations like your mother-in-law. And we'll pray for her. We pray for all those intentions that you voiced. And, you know, God's merciful. You know, I know she has these intentions. Let's pray right now for her. And prayerfully, maybe the family will have her buried in hallowed ground. But I want to lift this intention up again. And Pam's, I want to pray for your mother-in-law and all those who are dying. I think this is really critical. It's a very important intention today. And the reason I say that, I really believe that when we get multiple calls like this, there's special graces that are flowing. I really do believe we see that. And the Lord said to St. Faustina when it came to the sick and to the dying and to this final hour, he didn't say just, hey, this might mean the prayers might be their final moment. In their final moment, it might mean their eternal salvation. He also made other promises. He says, I'll stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. As a merciful Savior, the hour of death, I'll defend souls who this prayer is prayed for, you know, as my own glory. So I really believe this prayer is just so powerful for those approaching eternity. And I'm so glad that we can come together and pray in this moment for it. And Jake, you said you had you're monitoring the Twitter intentions. What's coming in there?
Yeah, some of the Twitter intentions, which listeners can request prayers as well. It's at Drew Mariani Show on our page. And Eric is lifting up his son, Sebastian, who's kind of concerned because he has some red spots in his hands and feet. They're not quite sure what it is, but they are praying for healing and praying that, of course, it's nothing serious. Deborah is lifting up her neighbor, Mark, who went into the hospital with COVID and is on a ventilator right now. His wife and 15-year-old daughter also need prayer in this situation. Let's pray for all of those who are struggling with addiction. Peg and Angela are both lifting up their own children who are struggling with the scourge of addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. We're praying for that today. And then we're praying for the repose of the soul of Francis Jr., who passed away at the age of 91. And we're lifting up his soul today and for his family.
All right, let's pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to the West Coast, San Francisco, California. Francis, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling because the prayers are working and we're starting to see a little precipitation over that Dixie fire that has grown to over 200,000 acres.
Yeah, that's something else.
And we desperately need rains there without lightning. And we're begging God for that. And for a young man named Joseph who lost his face in an accident last year, pain, anguish, he was set to be valedictorian of his college class, medical bills in the seven figures, they need real healing there. Wow. Also, prayers for those who feel they just can't change and give up whatever is holding them back. And lastly, I heard a little boy named Carter in Caribou, Maine on Father Rocky's Rosary Hour, and he was so sad, and his parents were obviously involved in something that's really bad, and he's having to live with his grandparents, and I'm haunted by this boy, so I wanted to pray for his parents if it's an addiction or crime, that they're delivered, healed, and that the family can be reunited in true healing. But my biggest prayer right now is those fires and those firefighters. Thank you, Drew. We love you.
Thank you. Love you too, Francis. Appreciate you calling. And you know what? I love this prayer of the chaplet because St. Faustina, on two different occasions that I'm aware of, used the prayer of the chaplet to ward off storms. And at other times, she's asked that the Lord allow rain to fall. So we see that you know, Christ could calm the storm, you know, just a whisper, right? We see the power of this prayer to affect nature, because God's in control of all of it. This moves the heart of God. So, Lord, I do pray for mercy on this country, from these wildfires, from the loss, the devastation, the tragedy, the destruction that we're now seeing. And I just ask for your mercy. Let these prayers today have a profound impact. And I thank you for the way you are working as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Courtney is praying with us in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So good to hear from her. Hey, Courtney, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. I just like to offer up prayers, please, intentions for my daughter who is struggling with anxiety and depression. And she is using alcohol to cope. So getting help for that.
All right. Well, we'll pray for you, too, and your whole family. I know it's a cross for families that have loved ones that struggle in this way. And I do want to pray for anyone with anxiety or depression, anyone who's battling addiction, self-medicating. And Courtney, you know, just take these words to heart. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina in Diary Entry 599, he said, I bestow special graces on souls for whom you intercede. And I know that St. Faustina is working. She's interceding for us right now. And I know the Lord will do the same for those whom you intercede through this powerful prayer of the chaplet. So, Lord, we give you this mother. We give to you all who are on hold, all who wrote to me, and all of those intentions that we are praying for. You know what's best for us, so we submit to that. But we do ask for those great miracles and prompt answers to our prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you holy souls in purgatory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
She's going to absolutely decimate the field here.
Simone Biles, a phenomenal competitor.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is good to have you here with us today. Thanks for joining us. A little bit of the sounds of the Olympics. Joining me in a moment, a former Olympian. He'll be stopping by. Have you been following the Olympics at all? Yeah, I mean, I've always loved the Olympics. I remember as a kid watching Bruce Jenner, you know. You remember the decathlon, and I was having lunch with somebody. He said, could you ever imagine, after he's on Wheaty boxes, right, cereal boxes, if somebody said, hey, in the future, you know, this guy is going to be known as Caitlin. He's going to possibly, you know, be running for public office in California. You know, his family's going to have a reality TV show. I mean, never be able to see the future like that, how things have changed, right? But, you know, the Olympics are something that are just so fun, from whether it's hockey or gymnastics or whether it is swimming. It's exciting. You know, the world recognizes people who get into the Olympic Games as being the best of the best. And, you know, those who do make it, they put a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears, a lot of hard work into achieving that. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. Other than the soccer's World Cup, I don't think anyone watches the World Championships games, let's say of swimming, right, or something like that. All eyes are on that. in whatever city is hosting every 4 years. I mean, the ratings that the Olympics get is normally off the charts. And people who win, you know, those championships, you know, they still have to qualify for the Olympics, you know. So Simone Biles is a great gymnast. I want to talk about her today. She's been making the headlines. And I'll fill you in. She's a Catholic, by the way. I don't know if you know that. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if you watch the Olympics or not. I was saying to my wife, I've watched just a few of the events, but I've missed it. I don't know whether it's my schedule super busy or what. But ratings for the Olympics are down, and I don't know why that is. Check this report out. This comes from CNN.
So they matter a lot because advertisers put $1.3 billion behind the Olympics, and they want to see what they paid for. They want the viewers. Obviously, there's been a huge decline in traditional TV viewing. Nobody expects there to be the same number of people viewing as there were in 2016. But I just texted an advertiser and I asked them what they thought so far. And they said, look at these numbers. This is not good. It's the lowest number in 33 years. I'm sure if that continues, Madison Avenue will be baying for blood. Having said that, NBC won't just be judged on the advertising performance. They'll be judged also on whether this is a big success for Peacock, which is their big entrant into the streaming arena. Launched last year. They were hoping to launch it with the benefit of Olympics.
Yeah, and, you know, COVID changed a lot of things. But I was TV audiences, she said, have reached a 33-year low viewership. 33-year. I mean, that to me is absolutely amazing. The TV audience dropped 37% from what we watched back in 2016, just 4 years ago, in the Rio de Janeiro games. I mean, why is that? Why is it? Is it COVID-19? Yeah, that I think that has certainly a role in it. Viewing habits are changing. Maybe people prefer to stream. I mean, I forgot to DVR this, so maybe that's why I'm not seeing it, because my schedule's always in flux. You know, Olympic opening ceremonies have enjoyed packed stadiums. I don't know if you caught Friday's opening event. I did. They only had 1,000 spectators in the stands. And one who was, of course, the First Lady, Joe Biden, was there. Olympic venues, are, you know, filled 50% capacity. But there are limits on how many people can come. Does that affect TV ratings? Not really. I don't know. Coming up in a moment, I'll speak to Dr. Bill Thierfelder. I want to get his take on this as well. The Holy Father, too. He's extended blessings to all those athletes in the Olympic Games. He did this, you know, before, I think it was on Sunday. I think he extended that blessing. And again, these are the 32nd Olympic Games. They're in Tokyo. If you said, hey, really, the Olympics are here already? Yeah, they're here. Check them out. The bummer for Catholic athletes is this, because of COVID, right? The Archbishop of Tokyo, he's asked visiting athletes from around the world and their coaches to refrain from attending the local churches due to concerns about the spread of COVID-19. Now, I don't know, as an athlete, as a Catholic, I don't know. Those two things to me would go hand in hand. I'd be praying for God and wanting the grace and wanting the fortitude and the strength and the grace that would come from the sacraments. But, you know, it's a no-go. There are something just under about 12,000 athletes from 206 nations who are committed Catholics, such as the U.S. gymnast Grace McCollum. At just 18 years old, she's competing in the team gymnastic events, along with Simone Biles, another Catholic. I was really proud to hear that. And Jordan, I think Chiles or Chiles is the other one that I had seen. So I forget her last name. But, you know, they travel with the rosaries. In fact, I saw a Filipino. She first Filipino ever to win a gold medal, right? And she held up her miraculous medal after her victory. And she was proud of her faith. She says, I can't believe my name's in the Olympic record. I'm so thankful. God's amazing. God is so great. And she, you know, posted online and again, just thanked her followers. And she lifted up the miraculous medal. And she said, I remember the leaflets of the angels of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, and She was so happy, just praising God, and I love that, you know. But I wish the Catholics could have access to the sacraments there. But I do get it; it is hard. Simone Biles, one of the Catholics who I was really rooting for, and we were going to talk about a situation that happened with her. She's so good at what she does that gymnastic officials wanted to limit the scoring on her just to make it competitive for others who who really couldn't contend. I just don't think that's just or fair. But I woke up this morning, I turn on the news, and I find out that she pulled herself out of the competition. You know, again, she's a phenomenon. And this girl leaves her colleagues in the dust by how well she performs. And if I was competing against her, that'd be a head game for me. I'd be like, oh, how am I ever going to beat her, right? I mean, she's just so amazing to watch. I mean, she's the GOAT. She's the greatest of all time. She really is absolutely amazing. And everyone's going to be looking to see, you know, how well she did. Well, turns out, you know, the International Gymnastic Foundation, that's the group that sets the standards for how gymnasts perform and are judged. They decided not to score her as highly as she should be scored. That's just so wrong. And the way it works in gymnastics is that the judge, they'll place a set value on a particular move, right? So, for instance, let's say a turn on the balance beam is worth X amount of points, right? Well, the point value is higher for harder moves. So the gymnast gets docked so many points for flaws in her performance. Well, the FIG is what they're doing for Simone was they were making lower scores for the hardest moves that she was making that apparently no other gymnast could make. And, of course, there's the, I think it's the Yurchenko double pike vault, you know, which requires you to do two full turns in the air before you land on your feet, right? No woman has ever been able to do that until Simone Biles, right? She practiced and practiced and practiced. I'm sure she fell a lot, right? Beat her body up a lot. But she got it. She nailed it. She was able to do it. She set a historic moment, right? But the FIG said, yeah, it's too dangerous, too difficult. So we're not going to give you higher scores for accomplishing something more difficult, for training harder. And, of course, earlier today, as I said, she withdrew. She's now out of the competition because of some kind of injury. They say it's not physical. I was reading that, you know, it's a little bit more mental. I don't know what all that's about, but you know, say a prayer for her. Of course, the women I think just took a silver medal. Joining me today to talk a little bit about it is Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's president of Belmont Abbey College. I want to talk to him a little bit about what he did too. I was talking to him off air as a side note, but he's a former Olympian. We'll talk Olympics, but he was also sharing with me that I said, "Hey, Doc," I said, "How did Belmont Abbey College do during COVID?" I mean. He goes, we didn't shut down. He says, we had in-person classes. We had athletics. We had the best year we ever had. And I'm like, really? Hey, if you're not familiar with them, they're a liberal arts college in Belmont, North Carolina. Great, great institution. In fact, one of my former producer's daughters went to school there. But Dr. Thierfelder, I love, he wrote a great book. And he is a former NCAA Division I coach. He's an Olympian, a national champion, a two-time All-American from the University of Maryland. And I've invited him here today to give us some perspective on the Olympics. Doctor, good afternoon. Welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, Drew, it's so great to be with you again. I do want to just say, though, that I ended up not competing in the Olympics. I made the qualifying standards, and about, I guess it was 5 or 6 weeks before the Olympic Games, I actually blew out my knee in a competition, so I ended up not being able to compete, but
no excuses.
I just wanted the record to be clear.
No, I got you. You made that level of excellence, and what a bummer to get injured before you go to, you know, to compete in the greatest games that there is. Before we talk Olympics, I do want to talk to you about Simone Biles and all that we're now seeing unfold. I'm curious about your school because that came as news to me that. You know, in the midst of shutdowns, I was broadcasting remotely. Kids are wearing masks at school. You know, everybody's, you know, doing virtual learning. In fact, homeschooling. I think I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. A lot of people are now beginning to homeschool because they realized, I don't want my kids indoctrinated. And I did it for a year. So what happened? Tell me what went on in Belmont. I didn't know this.
Well, I mean, you know, prudence dictates that you do prudent things. So, I mean, we adhere to the county and the state regulations and so forth. So, by the way, I don't use the term social distancing because I think it's a very bad thing. Physical distancing, I can understand if you want to say that. But so, you know, we had a little bit of physical distancing. We did some of the masking. And then, to be honest with you, we lived like life was normal. And so we had full athletics in the fall.
Wow.
Even though the NCAA canceled, our conference canceled, we found some schools still willing to compete. We practiced through the entire fall. And then every single sport we had competed in the spring, which was never done before in the history of the United States.
Wow.
And we had the best year in the history of the school. We won 10 championships. And so we had all Americans. We had, you know, and then academically, just incredible. We have a new hospital being built on the campus. I mean, just, you know, again, I'm not taking away the seriousness of someone who suffered from COVID or who died from COVID. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, you know, we just didn't crawl into a hole either. You know, we tried to be prudent. We did the right thing, but we said, hey, we're going to live our lives. And this fall coming in right now, we have an all time. I mean, we've had record enrollments the last, I think 4 or 5 years. And this is surpassing our previous record of last year by even more. So it's all good. And we're going to do, we'll see what happens this year too, with the whole, you know, are we going to be forced to remask or what's going to happen? We'll find out soon.
Right. So what's the word with that? Why are numbers up for you guys? This word getting out?
Yeah, I think people saw that we were, you know, being reasonable and being prudent, and we could still have a good life. So for all the schools that closed down and said we're not going to have anything in person and we're not going to have any sports and we're going to get rid of teams and we're going to get rid of athletic programs and academic programs and we're going to lay off people. I mean, we're a small school with no endowment. We didn't lay off one person. We didn't do furloughs. We didn't get rid of one program. Matter of fact, we added programs. Oh. So, you know, it's possible. I'm not saying, you know, circumstance can be very specific in certain places, but I'm just saying it doesn't have to be the doom and gloom that, you know, was presented to us.
Well, yeah, you're probably going to be a model for a lot of other institutions. That's fascinating to hear. I'm glad to learn that. My guest, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, and as I said, he is the president of Belmont Abbey College and, of course, a great athlete. And I want your take on Simone Biles. She's America's most decorated gymnast, right? And she withdrew from the women's team. She claims it was over mental health concerns. But, you know, there's a big lead up to this. I was talking about the scoring and a whole lot of other things. I can't imagine making the Olympics. Like, you got injured physically. I can't imagine. And she's been there, right? She's set records. Yeah. She's the best. But to pull yourself out, part of training for the Olympics is dealing with your head games, right? Dealing with what goes on psychologically. What do you make of this story? I don't know if there's more that, to it than meets the eye, but to withdraw from the Olympics, from that team, I don't know. Maybe it was altruistic. I
would tell you that there's, first of all, not one thing going on. There's probably 10 things going on at least, right? And you got everything from the professionalization of sport. And so, you know, the first time around, she's relatively young and almost naive to some degree of all that's happening. Her success is amazing. And you're sort of almost not aware of it to some degree. This time around, she's lived for this whole 4 years now waiting, and she's been the star, you know, all those six gold medals before. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, just, you know, incredible. And she is incredible. She still is incredible. It's not like she's suddenly, you know, no longer, literally maybe the elite athlete of the world. But, you know, so you got all this stuff going on. And I will tell you, I didn't work with her, but I have worked with elite gymnasts before in my past. And I got to say this first, just so you know.
Yeah.
Nobody sees this in the competitions. Women gymnasts are the, perhaps the toughest athletes I have ever seen in my life. You go to a practice, first of all, I don't know a gymnast that's not injured. And I'm talking about usually like serious injuries, like avulsion fractures and, muscle tears. And just, I've seen women get up on a beam, do a flip, miss, land. I'm talking about a thud that you would just cringe when you heard it. And they got to get back up on the beam and go again. I mean, you talk about football. This is like football without pads, you know, and relatively small people getting. I mean, just amazing what they go through. And then the psychological part, I often say there is no such thing as pressure because you can't hand it to me. It doesn't exist. It's all perspective. But I will say to you that this thing, this pressure, this perspective that is forced on many gymnasts comes from all kinds of sources. And the expectations, and I'll tell you what really kills somebody, and maybe this happened to her, is that when being perfect is only going to be acceptable, that is really hard to take. And that's where I think she's at. You know, in other words, she has every expectation that she's just going to dominate the world. She's the best of all time. Nobody can touch her. She's doing things that some men can't do. And that's only going to be okay. Like, that's we expect that, you know. That's a hard thing. Now, unless you are able to again, this is where maybe your faith comes in too. And I don't know that part about her, but you've got to give it all up. I mean, you've just got to look up to God and just say, look, the only reason I have these skills, talents, and abilities is because you blessed me with them. I'm Amen. Trying to be a good steward and double them. I am now going to go here and, for the glory of God, do everything I can possibly with all my skill, talents, and abilities.
Yeah.
Apparently, and I don't know all the details, it just seems like she probably is hurt. I would not doubt that at all.
Yeah.
But between the hurt, probably between maybe some of the scoring kind of stuff, where she had difficulty factors, and this is what happens. This is why I never like subjective sports. You're at the mercy of judges.
You're right.
So to be honest with you, even if you're a new person that comes on the scene, it's very hard for you to win because the judges haven't seen you before. So they have to see you for a while to know you, and then they sort of are scoring you a little bit along the lines of, you know, who you are and what you've done.
That's true.
So all of these things, I mean, the money, the sponsors, the, you know, I'm sure family and friends are loving and supportive, but just their love and support can sometimes feel like a pressure, you know, in a way, even though, again, it's all perspective.
Well,
so I'm sure those are the kinds of things that have impact her.
I'll tell you what, I've got to take a short pause. I just received an email from a former U.S. World and National Team member. I'll share what she had to say with everyone while we were talking. Gloria, thanks for sending that along. Just as a note on Simone, she had a press conference and said that her decision to withdraw was not related to physical injury, but it was really due to not being in the best headspace to compete and needing to work on her mindfulness. So that's what she says, at least. Doctor, I love your perspective. I'm going to take a short pause. We'll be back with more right after this.
I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups, because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that those girls need to go in and do the rest of them.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Simone Biles, of course, explaining why she stepped down, and sounded altruistic. She, you know, didn't want to compromise the team because she was not in a good place. Hey, and Gloria, if you're listening to me, feel free to call in and join the conversation. Gloria Hahn just wrote to me. I think she was on hold here while Dr. Thierfelder and I were talking about the Olympics. And she writes to me, Gigi, I guess would you call your name. She says, as a former U.S. World and National Team member, I believe many athletes as well as sports fans are not happy with the politics that have taken over, you know, have taken goodwill in international sports, not only in judging unfairly the gymnasts, as you mentioned, but to have transgenders compete surely complicates the drug testing that all athletes are required to submit. That's such a great point. I didn't even think about that either. We should talk about that. She goes on to say, when an athlete can lose a medal because of an asthma medication, and yet transgenders, especially men identifying as women, they'll certainly test outside the hormone levels. This is said not to be against those who struggle with gender identification, but surely they should have their own games, if not their own category. The Olympic Games stopped wars for friendly competitions. Now governments are using the games as political tools with boycotts in the past, and how international and now international political correctness. Not just me, but other fellow team members have discussed the same concerns. Love the show, Gigi. And again, she's a former U.S. World and National Team member. Dr. Thierfelder joins me. He I want to call you an Olympian, but you've already corrected me on that. He blew out his knee and didn't make it. He's a former national champion, two-time All-American from the University of Maryland, NCAA Division I coach, and the president of Donnelly, the president of Belmont Abbey College. I was about to credit you with another friend of mine. I love that email that came in. I think she brings up such great points. The ratings are down for the Olympics, first point, and that could be because of what we're seeing in there. You know, politics play a role. And then she brought up this transgender issue as well. I love your thoughts on that. I thought she brought up phenomenal points there. How do you view the low ratings that we're now seeing? Is that because of what's happening in the political realm? Is it the pandemic? What's your take on the low viewership? Lowest in 30 some years.
Yeah, and we can't always live in the past, but I probably am here a little bit. Whenever you thought about the Olympics, there was something really pure about it, and because it only happened every 4 years, and it was, you just saw people digging down deep, where just personally they just gave it everything they could, and to be able to rise up, and you could have been a farmer, you could have been in some place not in a famous place of any kind, and suddenly you could earn your way onto an Olympic team and get to an Olympic Games. And there was just that kind of joy. And I maybe innocence is a bad word. We're never perfect, right? But there was something about that. Today, it is just so political. And I know politics has always entered into it. I mean, you had the Nazis, you had, 68. I mean, you've had so many issues related to politics. But again, I think this is more pervasive. This isn't just one country political kind of thing entering into the Olympics. This is just global. And the transgender piece, I don't agree with. And I'll tell you why I don't agree with it. What they're trying to do is break it down to testosterone. They're saying that if a person has a testosterone level less than X, and I forget the exact number of milliliters per gram of body weight kind of thing, but if you are less than a certain amount, then you're eligible to compete as a woman. The problem being that medically, after puberty, a man has greater muscle mass, greater bone density, bigger lungs. There are just so many factors that are a complete advantage to having been a man. And this, Hubbard, who's the weightlifter from New Zealand who's competing, was a male competitor, I think, up till, 3, 4, 5 years ago. He was competing as a male Olympic weightlifter. So just because you say his testosterone level is down doesn't mean that he didn't gain a benefit from all the years of having testosterone, and also just the fact that he is literally biologically a man. I mean, we're living in a strange world where today, instead of trying to have our minds match reality, we are just doing the opposite. We're saying, well, however I feel is the new truth and the new reality. So we've left objective truth for some kind of subjective life that we're, whatever I guess we claim we feel is somehow now the truth. And again, it's madness. And so it is unfair in my estimation to women to have to compete against transgender, women.
I just think of, so many women who work so hard to compete, and to have that unfair, have that disadvantage, because somebody's, because a man wants to compete as a woman. It's just not just. And I don't know why the world doesn't see it. To me, it's just so obvious. It really is. And to her point, and we see this also with bathrooms and everything else. If we're going to go down this lane, all right, let's have separate bathrooms. Let's have different sporting events. I don't think a girl should lose a scholarship to college because she's worked her entire, 4 years or however long in high school to try to be the best and to get the aid that she needs because a guy identifies as a woman, So I hope we get this right.
This is the children's, book, The Emperor's New Clothes. Yeah. It takes the child to actually look out and say he's not wearing anything, and then everybody suddenly their eyes are open, and I'm waiting for that voice to say, hey, he's not wearing anything,
Hey, doctor, on another note, because we only have a few minutes here, I'm curious, the Olympics are great. You can watch competition from swimming to gymnastics to archery, right? Four sports are going to be making Olympic debuts during the Tokyo Games, and they've added sport climbing, surfing, skateboarding, and karate. What do you make of the addition of these? And I think in the 2024 games, there's more sports or disciplines that are going to be added as well. But right now, we got four new ones. Skateboarding. What's your take on the new sports?
Well, look, I got nothing against people that want to skateboard, but I think it's all part of marketing. I think the International Olympic Committee looks around the world and says, where does there seem to be a lot of interest by the average person? Are there lots of, young people skateboarding? So, now we're going to create skateboarding. So, I don't know. The Olympics, that's where I go back to the purity part of it. Like it used to be the, faster, higher, stronger kind of thing. And it was more pure throws and running and jumping and weightlifting and wrestling. I mean, those are the ones that go all the way back to the earliest times.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't add a sport, but I feel like we're just adding sports. And then, to be honest with you, I think we just start watering this whole thing down. There's nothing special about it anymore. It's just And by the way, the globalization now, I mean, I don't know if you saw, the NCAA was, you know, saying, hey, we have 1,000 athletes that are in the Olympics, you know, that had at one time been on NCAA teams. And right. I started to go through the list, and I might be wrong on the number, but I think it was at least half or three quarters of them are from other countries. So after a while, it's this thing where, well, everybody's just going over here. Now you're on this team, and then you're on that team. And so after a while, we don't have that sense of, you know, national, you know, competitiveness and, you know, well, it's the U.S. against somebody else. Well, they have people from all other countries. We have people from all other countries. Yeah. I mean, I think that love might it. Diminish it a little bit.
Yeah, there are new disciplines that have been added, too, including men and women's three-on-one basketball, BMX freestyle, which is part of the cycling program. They even have a mixed-gender team event that's been added in some sports, including relays and swimming and track and field. I think you're right. It's becoming.
And by the way, if you want to see the difference between men and women, just watch the mixed 4x4 relay. Yeah. You will be floored at what men are able to do against elite men against elite women.
Doctor, it's always good to talk with you. Love it. And thank you for what you do. Dr. Bill Thierfelder is the president of Belmont Abbey College.